Luke chapter 12. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand and one of our ushers will make sure that you get one. Luke chapter 12. We're just going to read the second part of verse 48. Okay. Luke 12:48b. And from anyone who has been given much shall much be required, and to whom they entrusted much of him, they will ask all the more. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today, God. Lord, we thank you for, God, just even the full service that we've already experienced, God, Lord, through people sharing their hearts with us, God, in their prophetic words, Lord, the baby dedication, God, the testimony, and our just a wonderful time of worship. Father, we ask that you would come now, God, and that you'd release the power of your word in our lives right now in this place. Lord, in that end, God, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself, God, and I say you use me today to preach your prophetic word with power and authority, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you so much, Lord God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. The title of my message today is called Stewardship, okay? And so we're gonna talk about this. Some of you guys know that we've been, you know, going through this theme throughout this year of go deeper and go wider. And so over the first part of the year, I've been just trying to pick out some certain things that I would like to teach the church that really helps us to go a little bit deeper, right? So that our impact is even wider. And so today it's on stewardship. So I want you to turn to one of your neighbors, right? Say, hey, good looking, right? The message is on stewardship. Stewardship, okay? Now, historically, stewardship or steward was the person that had the responsibility given to a household servant, right, to bring food and drinks to a castle dining hall. That's actually where the word comes from. The term then expanded to indicate a household employee's responsibility for managing household or domestic affairs. You know, like, you know, the word butler or things like that. That's basically where this word is coming from. Stewardship later became the responsibility for taking care of passengers' domestic needs on a ship, a train, airplane, or managing the service provided to diners in a restaurant. That's, you know, so you can, if you, when you think of this word stewardship, right, very easily we can attach the word service. You know, the origins of the word go hand in hand. Stewardship, it was a responsibility given to people to take care of other people. The term continues to be used in these specific ways, but is also used in a more general way to refer, and this is the key, to refer to a responsibility to take care of something owned by someone else. All right, if you're taking notes, this is the key. The responsibility to take care of something owned by someone else. And so our brother, when he came and gave the word this morning, I was like, that's my whole message. I don't even have to preach. He just did it, right? But I'm going to anyway, you know. But you know, this is the part, right? You're responsible for something that does not belong to you. That's stewardship. Stewardship is very different than ownership, okay? We're not talking about ownership. We're talking about stewardship. This does not belong to you, but at the same time that you have a responsibility. Some of us that are employees, you know what this is like, right? The company gives you something, maybe a computer, a laptop computer. It's not yours, right? But you have a responsibility to take care of that computer and make sure it's used into the benefit of the company or whoever has given you the use of it. It makes sense, right? And, you know, and there could be all different kinds of things that were given by other people or companies or other entities that's not ours, right? Key, it's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. But yet at the same time, I'm still responsible for what has been given to me. Did you guys get that? Right? Stewardship in a Christian context refers to the responsibility that Christians have in maintaining and using wisely the gifts that God has bestowed. Right? God wishes human beings to be in collaboration with him in the work of creation, redemption, and sanctification. Right? And so in the Christian context, it's take into consideration all these things that God has given to me, right? And I'm now stewarding these things. I'm responsible for the gifts that he's given me, for the health that he's giving me, you know, for the life that he's given to me. And I'm responsible for now taking care of that and benefiting much more of a broader audience than myself, right? Remember, we talked about this before, right? That if you only exist to benefit yourself, that's called selfishness, right? Like, you're like, man, you are just an incredible giver, but you only give to yourself. That's not a real good giver, right? That's selfishness. And so that's not the context of what we're talking about here. The beauty of stewardship, and I want you to, I mean, the primary point of this is that the beauty of stewardship flows when a person who's been entrusted doesn't see it as a responsibility, but actually sees it as an honor. That's the key, right? Because I know in the definition we talk about responsibility and these things, you know, these are one of these bad, good words that have become bad in our connotation. You know, but the idea of true stewardship, true biblical stewardship happens when people don't look at the responsibility of doing something or giving back or serving or any of these things, but looks at that as an incredible honor before God. Lord, you entrusted this to me. Wow, that's amazing. I'm so blessed. God, I'm so honored. And really, stewardship really is the overflow of thanksgiving to God in service to others and to him as, himself as well. Right, and so in some way that we need to go from a shift in our mind from thinking responsibility to thinking honor. You know, and I tell you, you know, Grace and Leanne, who shared a few weeks ago that we'll be sending out overseas for a period of time. I'm sure you talk to them, and it flows from, you know, their discussions, their life. They consider, you know, we think, oh, you're going off, you know, and some people may think, oh, you're wasting your life. You know, you're young. You could be making a lot of money. You should be getting married. You should be doing this, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But yet, the stewardship is like, no, I'm so honored by what God has given to me. I'm so blessed that, first of all, that he saved me. You know, I mean, I could be living without any faith, without, you know, any kind of goals in my life, without any kind of purpose. But Lord, you saved me, and I'm so thankful for that, God. And as an act of gratitude, God, I want to bless other people. I take what you've given to me, God, and I just release it and bless others. Whatever it may be. You know, some of you guys, you know, and just being around, you guys are so smart. You know what I mean? I sit there and I'm just, you know, a lot of times just amazed, you know, how smart some of you guys are, right? And then, but it's taking that and saying, you know, it's not saying, well, yeah, darn it, I am smart. You know, sorry for you. You know, you didn't quite get in line, you know, when God was giving those things out. But it's grabbing a hold of, yes, God, you've given me this intelligence. You've given me this aptitude to study. But in that, God, I want to do something with it. You know, my sister Sarah is sitting here, who's going to get married pretty soon, right? I remember when she was contemplating going off to law school, right? You know, and I think a lot of people were saying, why are you going? You know, you just started this relationship with, you know, some knucklehead guy, you know, and... You know, I mean, why would you do this? You know, you're working, you already had a good job. And I don't know if you remember what you said, but I remember what she said. You know, and she is very clear. She says, you know what, Pastor Sam, God has given me an ability in my intellect, an ability to study. It wasn't like an arrogant statement or anything like that. She just said, God just given me an ability to study, you know, and to study well. And I want to use that. I want to, you know, take that potential, right, and I want to maximize it in some way. And then she went off to study. Do you remember that, Sarah? Right? Kind of. You know? But like, you know, I mean, it really blessed me when I heard that. I was like, yeah, that's it. You know, God has given some of us certain skills in our life, you know? He's given us certain aptitudes. He's given us certain gifts. He's given us certain abilities in our life. He's given us so many wonderful things, not to even just mention life, just in general. And he's given all these things to us, and it's the heart of stewardship. And it's just saying, God, thank you for what you've given to me. I consider it a privilege, Lord, that you've entrusted these things to me. And so, Lord, it's not mine to keep. It's yours. So, Lord, how can I serve you? How can I serve the kingdom? How can I serve God's people? How can I serve people in general? That's stewardship. You know, it's more than just responsibility. You know, I know we read verses like this, right? To from everyone who has given much more shall be required. And you're like, oh man, somebody can say, well, Lord, I don't even want that much anyway. I mean, if I gotta give so much, just give me a little bit. I'll be happy with just a little bit. You know, and we can see that, but we're not quite understanding the beauty of what this text is trying to tell us, you know, and speak to us about. You know, and it's this heart, it's this gratefulness for what God has given to us, and then the sense of responsibility flows out of the gratefulness. Listen, friends, if your ministry or things that you do just flow out of responsibility, you're eventually going to get a very cold heart. Because as human beings, we can only do so much out of our own will. You know what I mean? We can only do so much out of our own strength. And then there comes a point where we can't operate on our own. That's when we turn to the Lord. You know, and hopefully some of us have been walking with the Lord enough, we know that just turn to Him now. Don't wait till later when the world is falling apart. Right? Just turn to Him now because you can't do it on your own strength anyway. You know, and it's this deep sense of gratitude and saying, thank you, God, and just trusting. Right? Stewardship is an act of thanksgiving. Or the operation of stewardship, I should say, is an act of thanksgiving to the Lord. I mean, come on, you know, I made you guys think about it last week. So let's just take a moment. Let's think about it again. You just meditate on the things that God has given to us. You know, some of you guys are working in jobs that you have no reason being in. You know, some of us are doing things that surely we are incapable of doing. God has given many of us these opportunities that there's no way. You know, I mentioned last week, even myself, even being here preaching and whatnot. Man, if you were sitting in my college classroom when I was in speech class, you would think there is no way that dude is going to be a public speaker. I mean, no way in the world. You know, and I mentioned, you know, before, I used to get this incredible heartburn. You know, even when I had to think about speaking publicly, you know, and then I would do it. And then afterwards, my stomach would just be killing me. You know, and what a privilege I get to have every week, you know, to be able to share, right, you know, to the people of God. And then there's something about this, it's thanksgiving. Here's a famous missionary, David Livingstone. He said this. He said, I place no value on anything I have or may possess, except in relation to the kingdom of God. If anything will advance the interests of the kingdom, it shall be given away or kept. Only as by giving or keeping it shall I most promote the glory of Him to whom I owe all my hopes in time or eternity. Right? Livingston was the man. You know, I mean, this guy just gave his life. He stewarded his life because he recognized that it was a gift from the Lord, that it wasn't his to own, but it was his to share. It was his to give. You know, I remember, you know, every once in a while you run into people in your life that, and it may not be a very long time, you know, but you have these episodes with these people and it really impacts you. One particular man I actually think about quite often, and his name was Tom Phillips, and Tom was the International Crusade Director for the Billy Graham Association. Tom, at a certain period of my life, I was actually getting recruited and to go work with the association and do some things. And so, you know, he brought me out to Colorado Springs, and you know, we had a wonderful time, went skiing together. And in just the whole 3 days I was with him, I was just picking his brain, just asking him again and again all kinds of questions. And the resounding conclusion of our talk was about this man who knew who he was. You know, and I just ask him silly stuff. I'd be like, hey, do you like invest in stocks? You know, just kind of random talk. I just wanted to see. And he just says, he would just simply say, you know what, I really don't have time for that kind of stuff. You know, and then I ask him about other things. He says, you know, and many times he says, I really don't have time for that. You know, and when it came down to it, his life was about the kingdom of God. His life was about saving people's souls. And every energy, every thought that he had, every fiber of his being, right, was expressed in that way. And I remember leaving the time, I was just so blessed, you know, to see someone that was so focused, someone that was stewarding his life well, you know, that recognized that life was a gift from God, right, that what we own, what we have is given from the Lord. And so it was easy for him to give. It was easy for him to give his time to me. It was easy for him to give his time to others because it didn't belong to him. It just didn't belong to him. You know, and like our brother was saying, or, you know, during our time of prayer, right? Just it's so easy to give, right, when you want something. You know, it's easy to, you know, it's like free money. You know what I mean? I didn't really do anything. It just came to me. And it's so easy for us to do that. And imagine how different would our lives be if that was the mentality of our life, that our jobs, that our children, right, that our careers, our possessions, you know, our gifts, all these things that God has freely given to us, right, how easy it would be for us to let go, just knowing that it's not mine, right? I have a responsibility to take care, but this is owned by somebody else. Turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 is the parable of the dinner. And if you read this too quickly, you might miss out on this. But Luke 14 gives us a nice little backdrop of where I want to go with the rest of this message. Luke 14, actually, we did this this week in early morning prayer. And in Luke 14, let's read from verse 16. And he said to him, "A certain man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come.' And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city. Bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and lame.' And the slave said, 'Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' The master said to the slave, 'Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner.'" Let me read you a story. Once there was a man who said, "You know, if I had some extra money, I'd give it to God, but I just have enough to support myself and my family." And the same man said, "If I had some extra time, I'd give it to God, but every minute is taken up with my job, my family, my clubs, what you have every single minute." And the same man said, "If I had a talent, I'd give it to God, but I have no lovely voice. I have no special skill. I've never been able to lead a group. I can't think cleverly or quickly the way I would like to." And God was touched. And although it was unlike him, God gave that man money, time, and a glorious talent. And then he waited and waited and waited and waited. And then after a while, he shrugged his shoulders, right? He took all those things right back from the man, the money, the time, and the glorious talent. After a while, the man sighed and said, "If I only had some of that money back, I'd give it to God. If I only had some of that time, I'd give it to God. If I could only rediscover that glorious talent, I'd give it to God." And God said, "Shut up, man." Right? That wasn't me. It was actually from this illustration I found, right? So I wasn't saying anything mean. But, you know, does this sound like many of us? Right, we're always, "Lord, if I had more of this, if I had more of this, then yeah, I could give to you." Right? You know, God really doesn't want a lot. He doesn't want a big thing. Right? It's those little things. Remember when Jesus was saying, "Be faithful in the little things, and then you'll be entrusted with much." Right? But we have a totally different mentality. We say, "Lord, if you give me a big thing, then I'll give you a little thing." Right? You know, and he says, "No, if you're just faithful with a little thing," he says, "man, I'll give you so much, right? So much more that you can ever handle." I'm going to go back to the text, but there's three main areas of stewardship, right? Three T's, very, very common. You know, time, talent, and treasure. Number one, time. How well are we stewarding our time to God? How well are we spending our most valuable resource in service to the Lord and in service to others? Right? And trust me, friends, this is your most valuable resource. You know, I can't think of, you know, many times, and a lot of times when I'm, you know, kind of, reading about someone's life, and, you know, and then I read that they're like, you know, they passed away when they're 75 or something. You know, ever since my mom passed away, I always do the calculation in my mind. You know, as my mom, you know, went to be with the Lord at 67, and, you know, and I think, oh man, you know, and always the thought is, what I wouldn't give, to spend just a little bit of more time with my mom. You know, and there's probably many of us that have, you know, other kinds of thoughts like that. Right? Time is really your most valuable resource that you have. Right? It's something that is, I mean, really, really is a gift from the Lord. Right? And so how well are we stewarding our time? Right? Time that does not belong to us, that belongs to Him. And how well are we using that? The second one is our talent. How well are we stewarding our talent before the Lord? Are we serving others with the talents that God has given to us? You know, there's many of us here, and you know, I could speak on so many things, but I'll just talk about our steering committee for a moment. All right, this is the committee that's been working hard for the last 2 years. Now, two different sets of committees, you know, that are giving their time, right, their talents especially. You know, and I tell you, as a church, we are blessed to have these certain kind of people that are willing to give themselves, you know, in service to God so that we can find a new home. That's basically, you know, the whole purpose of our steering committee coming together. And I think of, you know, our brothers that served on the committee that really have an expertise in real estate in some ways. You know, or that are really, you know, involved in expertise in investing in these things. And they've used those talents to come together to find SP a new home. You know, or others that their expertise, their talents are in the legal profession. You know, and I was talking to one of the sisters, you know, this past weekend, you know, and, you know, she spent the whole day working basically for us, you know, to get us a better deal with the lawyers and the fees and all these things. And, you know, but just using their gifts, their talents that God has given to them, you know, to really impact us as a body of Christ. You know, I think of our other sister, you know, who is a consultant that's using all of her expertise that she learned at McKinsey, you know, to really basically do consulting for us as a church so that we can be the people of God that He wants. What a blessing that is. You know, I think of our other, some of our teachers that are here, you know, that are serving in the children's ministry, you know, or that are serving, you know, in the Indonesian ministry, you know, teaching our Indonesian sisters upstairs English once a week. You know, even some of us that are not teachers that are serving in that ministry that just can just speak English. You know, and so that makes you a good teacher to speak English, right? Especially to our helpers upstairs. But just, you know, just taking their talents, but also giving their time as well, you know, to bless other people. You know, were you guys blessed today during our time of worship? Okay, I guess only me. That's cool. That's all right. All right. But it was awesome. You know, what an incredible time, and for them to prayerfully practice and bring an atmosphere so we can, you know, worship the Lord. It just didn't happen out of nowhere, right? These guys practiced and, you know, I mean, they probably had music lessons growing up, and now they're taking their very talents, simple talents, and just offering up to the Lord, and it's blessing everybody. You know what I mean? So in that way, whatever talent, and I'm telling you, every single one of you have talents. Right, and in fact, if you, in this whole idea of talent, if you actually do a thing, to really break down the things that God has given to us in terms of our abilities, you have basically what we call natural abilities. Right, some of us just have just simple, and we look at those things, especially in terms of like athletics, but it's far beyond that, right? There are just certain things that God has put inside of you that maybe is from your dad's side, your mom's side, you know, it's through your genes or whatnot. These are just natural abilities that you have, right? And then along some of us as well, that as we've been working, as we've been going to school, we also have something that's called acquired traits. Right, and so these are skills and things that we acquire along the way as you learn, as you study, maybe you apprentice, you know, and you do things and you acquire now another set of skills. And then the best of all is the Bible talks about spiritual gifts, right? And these are of grace. In other words, you don't do anything for this. God, just the Holy Spirit, just dispenses gifts to His people. You know, and in fact, you don't just get one, you get a whole bunch of them. And the term is, it's actually called a gift mix. You know, and they correlate and they correspond to one another and they bless the body of Christ. They bless the world. And so we have natural abilities, we have acquired traits, and we have spiritual gifts that come down from God. This is what makes your talent in essence. Right? And so what we do is we take all these things that God has given to us and we serve and we give. We steward. We take the responsibility and we give it to others and we bless others, right? Brothers and sisters, be good stewards of your talents, right? All these wonderful things that God has given to you. This is the best way of saying thanks, God, right? By blessing other people in that way. And then the last thing is treasure. How well are we stewarding our treasure? You know, and I'm not going to talk about tithing and offering or those kind of things, but let's just think about the possessions that we have. You know, the things that we own, you know. And incidentally, along that line, some of our friends, a ministry in Hong Kong, if you won't be in town in July, they're looking to house some missionaries here in Hong Kong, right? And so maybe you're going on holiday or you're something, it's the end of July. You know, why don't you, you know, let these guys use your house, right? And you know, it's interesting. There's brothers and sisters at church, you know, that I think they really understand the stewardship of their possessions. You know, in the sense that whenever the people of God have needed something, they've been so quick to answer. You know what I mean? Sure. Oh, yeah, someone's coming. Sure, they could use my place. I'm not going to be there. You know, we even have other brothers and sisters that even though they're going to be in town, they'll go sleep somewhere else so that our missionaries, our people can be comfortable in their place. That's someone that says, you know what? This apartment that I have, this doesn't belong to me. This apartment belongs to God. This car that I have, this doesn't belong to me. This belongs to the Lord. It's stewardship. You know, it's just a simple thing of saying, God, if I'm able to be a help, if I'm able to give, I will. Because, Lord, this doesn't belong to me. Lord, it's yours. You can have it any time that you want. You know, it's stewardship of our treasures. Are we sharing with those that are in need? You know, and need just doesn't necessarily mean just the poor, right? Even though that's a whole part of it. But anyone that's in need, for whatever the case may be, are we sharing these things with others, these possessions of ours? Or do we hold on to it with this white knuckle? No, this is my house. This is my car. This is my bank account. You know, no, this is mine. I worked hard for this thing. You know, I mean, as ugly as I may look doing that, right? That's as ugly as it looks to God. Come on, church. You know? That's as ugly as it looks to the Lord. And God says, well, didn't I give you that? Didn't I bless you with that? Didn't I give you the ability to get that? No, God, it's mine, you know? Okay. You know what happens? The sad thing that happens, God says, okay, you're on your own. You do your own thing now. Let me go find somebody else, right? For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may strongly support those hearts that are completely his, right? I love that verse in Chronicles. You know, in other words, it's saying, even right now as I'm speaking, God's looking around this room. His eyes are moving to and fro, looking all over this place, and he wants to find someone that he can trust. Because if he can trust that person, he can bless them. He can bless them. Because then now these possessions, these talents, it won't ruin them, you know? Because they'll be so easy to give and offer up to one another. It's treasure. Now let's go back to this Luke 14 passage, and let me just kind of break it down, unpack this for us a little bit. Now, I know this passage is talking about evangelism, and that's not really what I want to focus on today, just for the purposes of my talk. And, I'm not saying I'm going to give you a bad interpretation, but I just want to focus on the first part of this a little bit. You know, and what may be some things that maybe get in the way of our discipleship and our stewardship? And so there's a certain man, he was living, he had a big dinner, he invited many to come. Now, in the Jewish context, you need to understand this, right? It wasn't like these guys didn't know that this party was happening, right? In the Jewish context, this is what it's called a double invitation. And what that means is that an invitation was already sent, maybe even months ago, that this time was going to come, and these people, these three groups of people, already said, I will be there. You know, in our context, this is like we send out an evite, you know. You know, everyone gets an evite, and we reply, we says, I will be there, and I'm going to bring my three kids with me, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what happens is, so the Evite, you say, yes, you're going to come to this thing. Now the second invitation comes. And what happens is, people on that day, they begin to wait, right, for the celebration to take place. And so, you know, the servants are cooking all the food. They're getting everything ready. And then when the feast is ready, they will go send the servants out and they'll say, okay, come now, it's time to eat. Or come now, it's time to feast. Right? This is double invitation. And so, you know, each of these ones that have come, they've said, yes, I'm gonna come. Right? I'm there. And now the time is there. And the idea is you're supposed to be expecting that time. There's an expectation. Right? They know it's that day. They're waiting. It's getting all set up. And now the servants come and says, okay, the banquet hall is ready. Come on in. Let's feast. You know, and then when the servants go out, these three main excuses come in. And these are probably the three main excuses for us that we lack in our stewardship or our discipleship. Okay, and so, number one. But they all alike began to make, verse 18. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of land. I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Okay, number one. Livelihood or our work? Our livelihood or our work? Is it one of the major excuses that we have, right? Our work or our livelihood, right? Maybe we say this, Lord, I'll serve you, I'll give to you, but Lord, let me get promoted first, right? I mean, this is really busy right now. You know, I'm in competition with another guys, and, you know, I need to make MD, you know, I need to make VP, I need to do this. And Lord, as soon as I do this, boom. I'm all over it, man. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to come. I'm going to serve. You know, I'm going to lead that Bible study. Whatever you want, God, let me just do this first. Right? And, you know, and then later on, we get into different things. And, you know, I mean, we say, Lord, let me be successful in what I'm doing right now. I just started my job. Let me just really do this. And then I'm there, Lord. I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to give whatever you want. You know, or, Lord, this is a really big business deal right now. It's a huge deal, a huge project. Let me just finish this project first. And then, God, I'll serve you. And then I'll follow you. And then, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? Notice in this thing, these are all bad excuses. Think about this. Hey, have you guys ever bought any real estate before? Right? You know, you guys, you know, have you ever bought something without ever even looking at it? There's a word for people like that. It's called a sucker, you know? I mean, look at this lame excuse. He says what? Hey, I bought a piece of land. I need to go take a look at it. So please consider me excused. You know, this guy, he knows what's up. It's like, come on, what a bad excuse. Right? But it's this issue of his work or his livelihood. That took precedence over anything else. You know? You know, can I be honest a little bit, huh? You know, for some of us, right, we make our work a little too important. You know, really, if you miss that call, your company will not fail. Trust me, right? I think they could run without you at least one day, you know? But it's amazing. Some of you guys are on the phone all the time. Please, right? Can I say this? When you come into the house of God, let this be the house of God. Let this be the house of prayer for all nations. You know, obviously, I know you have kids, emergencies come up. I'm not saying just totally get rid of the mobile phone or whatnot. You know, or, you know what's really, really annoying, right? Is actually Blackberries, right? And stuff. And, you know, and I know you're not taking sermon notes, okay? Some of you are, and so, you know, that's why I don't really. But I think you could wait. You know, and I struggle with that. You know, in the morning, you know, we have our morning service, and I usually take my BlackBerry with me because, you know, it's in my watch, even though I do wear a watch, but, you know, I get confused sometimes, you know, and things. And I just kind of look at the time, and then, you know, like if I finish speaking, and as I walk over, I can see that red light go, doom. I can see the red light, and it's just calling me, Sam, come here now. You know, open me now, right? And it gets so mesmerizing sometimes, you know? And I have to just, as a discipline, say, no, I'm going to take care of my business with God first, and then I'm going to open up, right? And then when you open it, it's so release. It's like releasing. Ah, finally, right? Okay. And then the worst is it's some junk mail, right? That comes and, you know, take all your time. But right, I mean, but we use this as an excuse a lot of times. Our livelihood, our work. And sometimes we can easily deceive ourselves by saying, well, Lord, you've blessed me with this job. So I want to do this job with the best of my abilities, right? With just integrity and all these things. But yet you neglect everything else. You should do both, right? So Jesus is saying, yeah, you should do that, and you should be a blessing too, right? So don't let your work or your livelihood ever get in the way of your stewardship, of your discipleship, and following the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The second one, and this guy comes in verse 19. Another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Right? So the first one, we dealt with our work, our livelihood. The second one, we're dealing with our possessions, the things that we own. Now, in this context, the oxen, right? Again, this is a horrible excuse. You know, especially living in the first century, you would have heard that and you would have thought that was the most ridiculous thing you'd ever heard. Because everyone knows that when you're buying oxen, you must try them out. You know, you go out to the field, you test them out, and then you say, all right, I like this, all right, I'm going to buy it, deal done. You know, and he gives this excuse of this certain possession that he has. And I wonder how many of us make these kind of excuses as well. Lord, let me make X amount of money first. Let me be successful and do that, and then, Lord, I'll follow after you. Or, you know, and I've used this many times in my own life, right? Lord, let me just buy this thing. I know that I shouldn't buy it because I know it'll be a bad steward, but Lord, let me buy this. Let me just use it for a little while. Let me just get out of my system, and then I'll sell it, and it'll be such a high retail value anyway because it's such a valuable thing. And so let me just do this, God. Let me just get out of my system. Let me flush it out, and then, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And God is saying, who are you trying to kid, man? You know, come on. Who are you trying to kid? Right? But our possessions. Brothers and sisters, don't let your possessions rob you of your stewardship. Right? Are you following the Lord? You know, or wherever it may be. Right? Just as this particular person did. And the last one, this probably in our age and time probably trumps us the most. The last one. Another one said, I have married a wife. And for that reason, I cannot come. Right? We talked about our livelihood, our possessions. The last one is our relationships. Our relationships. You know, this is something, man, that really messes people up, especially young people. Right? It's something that we, you know, we turn, you know, for many of us that are single, we turn marriage into this god. It's not. It's just a part of life. You know, I mean, it's an important part of life, but it's just a part of life, right? And maybe we say things like, Lord, let me get married first. Let me just get married. Let me just focus on that, you know, finding a spouse and then the wedding and all that stuff. And then, God, I'm all over it. I'm going to follow you. I'm all these things, right? And then, you know what happens? Then you get married. And you're like, Lord, I'm just getting to know my spouse right now. Right, and so we, you know, we're going to go out and, you know, we're going to experience life. And so let me just do that first, God. You know, and then, Lord, I'm all over it. I'll follow you. I'll steward my life. And then eventually, you know what happens? You know, you spend time, and then you get pregnant. Lord, let's just have our first baby first. This is, you know how long we've been waiting for this, God. Let me just have my first child, and then I'll serve and follow you. Right, and then, you know, you have the first baby. Now you know that you have no time to do anything, you know. And so, but, you know, it's excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse when it comes to relationships. You know, listen, friends, okay, I don't want to sound mean or anything, but, you know, many of us that are engaged and stuff, don't miss out on your discipleship because you're planning your wedding. You know what I mean? Come on, really? You know, and then for you us that are married now, don't also start skipping church every Sunday because you're hanging out with your spouse. Really? I mean, is that what our relationships are about? Surely there's got to be more than, excuse me, surely there's got to be more than that, right? But we get robbed a lot of times. Now, let's go back. Another horrible excuse, right? Because any thinking person would say, well, I think you could probably bring your wife to the banquet as well. You know what I mean? It's like, I just got married, you know, so we can't come. Just both come. You know, or, I mean, you know, and this is obviously something that happened a while back. It's just a horrible excuse. You know, but we offer these things up to the Lord in this way. You know, let me do this first, God. You know, in this relationship, let me, and then. Right? Or let me do, and then, Lord. Friends, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work, right? That's not stewardship. That sounds a little bit more like ownership, doesn't it? Right? You know, there's something about us, right, of just letting go. I'll probably share this story. You know how they capture monkeys in the Amazon? You know how they do that? It's really ingenious, actually. You know, they actually take a bottle, you know, just a real simple bottle, and they put beans inside, you know, or some kind of corn or fruit or whatnot. And they tie the thing up to the bottle up to a string, and it's usually tied to a tree or something. And these monkeys will come, and they'll smell the fruit or the beans or whatever that's in there, and they'll take their small hands, and they'll stick their hands inside the bottle, and they'll grab, right, the food that's in there, but then they don't let go. You know what I mean? They're just so enamored by what they have, they refuse to let go. And just the villagers just come in, you know, and they just, the monkey's just sitting there. If he only let go, he would be free. Right? You know, turn to your other neighbor, say, hey, good looking. If you only let go, you'll be free. Right? The dumb monkey, man. he doesn't want to let go. You know what I mean? If he just lets go, just he can put his hand out of the ball of the neck and he can be free. And so the villagers come. I mean, you know, no weapons. You know what I mean? No, like, darts, you know, or no bloodshed, or no poison. Just a dumb monkey, a bottle, string, and some food. And the monkey just grabs on, right? If we only learn to let go ourselves. You know, letting go, stewardship. Not letting go, ownership, right? Letting go says, Lord, this belongs to you. Holding it on for ourselves says, this belongs to me. When we say, this belongs to me, or I did it or whatnot, we're talking about pride. Right? We're talking about what made Lucifer fall from heaven. Right? We're talking about really the original sin, you know, more than anything else. Right? And it's this idea of letting go in our time, talent, treasure, letting go in our work, letting go of our possessions, letting go of our relationships. Now listen, friends, right? God, he wants to bless you with all these things. I'm not saying that we let go of, you know, forget it. No. God has blessed you with possessions. Be blessed. Have fun. You know what I mean? You know, enjoy life in that way. He's blessed us with relationships. Praise God. Enjoy. You know, he's no cosmic killjoy. You know what I mean? God is blessed and happy when we're blessed and happy living this life. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, right? But yet in all these things, Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. That's what we're talking about. Seek first, giving God that first, right? The most important part, that stewardship. Is saying, yes, God, I trust you. Yes, God, this is yours. Yes, God, you blessed me. All right, I'll give my time. I'll give my talent. I'll give my treasures. Right? So simply put, right? When we don't do that, it's just something totally different. Right? Bottom line, church, right? Are you grateful for what you do? Are you grateful for what you have? Are you grateful for the relationships in your lives? If you are, the best way to honor God is by being thankful for what you have, right? By using those things in service to God, his church, and to others, right? You know, if we really say, you know, Pastor Sam, I'm so grateful, right? I'm so thankful, Lord, that I'm able to meet this person. God, you're so awesome, right? The best way to honor God is in that thanksgiving, or the overflow of the thanksgiving, is to offer whatever it is God has given to us in service to the Lord, to his church, and to other people. You're thankful. Some of us just bought a house or, you know, something like that, right? Or, you know, we were able to afford something. God's given us the resources. Praise God. That's awesome. You know, but now the best way to honor God in that purchase or whatever it is, I say, God, this doesn't belong to me. And I'll open this place up to whoever needs it, God. I'll shelter whoever needs to be. I'll give to whoever. Lord, because this is not mine. This is yours. It's a blessing that you have given to me. So, Lord, freely I offer to you. Right? Or, you know, I mean, it goes in so many ways. Maybe you just got a new job or you got a promotion. Saying, praise Jesus for this. Wow, God, I can't believe that you exalted me to this place and I get to do this and with these people and whatnot. The best way you can honor God by a way of thanksgiving, right, is to take whatever God has given to you and give it back in service to others. Or the skill sets that God has given to you in that way to bless other people. It's an amazing thing, amen? Let's close our eyes. Let's steward well. Let's have a heart to be responsible for something that does not belong to us. Can I encourage us, as the worship team will be leading us in a song, can I encourage us today just to spend a moment of that confession to God, to say, Lord, my life, my relationships, my possessions, my livelihood does not belong to me. First and foremost, it belongs to you. And so, Lord, teach me to be a good steward. Teach me to honor you, God, by being responsible for what is not mine, but what is yours. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've given to me and the manifestation of that thanksgiving is to steward my life to you, to the church, to others. That means when God asks, we say, yes, Lord. God asks, hey, can you do this? Can you teach English once a week? Yes, Lord. Can you help kids with their homework? Yes, Lord. Can you serve in XYZ ministry? Yes, Lord. You're going to be out of town. Can these missionaries use your apartment? Yes, Lord. Because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Him. As the worship team leads us, can I just invite you to just spend time with Jesus, offering prayers of thanksgiving, maybe even prayers of transferring that heart of ownership to Him and not keeping it for ourselves. Every
You deserve my everything.
I invite you to stand before the Lord as we sing this song as really a conclusion of the message, an anthem before God, to say, Lord, I give you everything right here, right now. Pray together. Father, Lord, those words are so true, God. What do we have, God, that you have not already given to us, Lord? What do we own that has not been a gift from your hands and your hands alone? Lord, we can't take credit for our lives. We can't take credit for our accomplishments, for our jobs, our relationships, Even our kids, God, Lord, they all came gracefully from your hands. And Lord, and just in response for what you've given to us, God, Lord, we want to be good stewards, Lord. A reflection of our thanksgiving to you, God. We say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. So I pray that you'd help us, God, individually and as a church, corporately, God, Lord, to be stewards of the grace given to each one of us. Watch over us this week, God. Help us, Lord God, to continually think of giving, 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 instead of getting, getting, getting. We bless you, Lord. We love you so much, God. Watch over us this week, God. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Won't you hug someone next to you? Say, God bless you. Have a great week this week. If you're on the welcoming team, please make your way up to the front. You'll meet here. Have a great week. Sign up for the retreat. We'll see you guys Thursday night here at church.